Welcome to The Portable Pastor, a podcast of relevant biblical teaching, linking ancient truth with today's challenges. Each week, Pastor Mike will share God's Word to help you and remind you that God is pro-you. So download the outline from fbcclover.life and get ready to hear today's teaching. Here's Pastor Mike.
Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome back to the podcast. This is Mike Stafford, the Portable Pastor, and I want to bring you another teaching from God's Word. I want to let you know I'm sitting in my Clover Blue-Gray office today. It's a beautiful day. I'm sipping on a caramel latte by my friend Brianna. She's the one that has the pink caramel latte or the pink coffee latte trailer around Clover. If you see that, you need to pull over and get you a cup of coffee because it is good. Well, today's a good day, and I want to get to God's Word. And so if you have your Bible, turn to Matthew chapter 13 with me. Today, we're going to read this next parable of Jesus that we've been talking about in this series. But I'm planning on taking a break from that next week. Just want to give you the heads up. We're having a guest preacher at our church next week. His name's Corey Hinton. He's the youth director at Lakewood Baptist Church in Rock Hill. He's going to be bringing the message. So I'm not going to have a podcast posted next week. But I will come back after that and bring you some further teachings that following week. In fact, that following week is Palm Sunday. So Palm Sunday and Easter Sunday, we'll have a mini series, and then we'll come back and return to the three parables in the remaining three parables in this series. So today's parable builds on last week's passage in that it's still concerned with the growth of the kingdom of heaven. Now, I want you to follow along as I read this short parable. And I mean, it is short. It's really only one verse, Matthew 13, 33. This is what it says. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like leaven that a woman took and hid in three measures of flour till it was all leavened. Now, that's it. Although this parable is a verse shorter than last week's, the quality of this parable is still remarkable. It's remarkable that in one verse, he still tells a reasonable story. I mean, the order makes sense and it has a relatable character. Everyone's familiar with a cook, with a bread maker. It was a regular situation. Making bread was as common as it gets in those days. It was an everyday occurrence. And it also had a recognizable outcome, right? If bread dough is leavened correctly, then the process of making bread will work. So this was another perfect parable. Now, let's remember that Jesus is talking about the kingdom growth. As we go through this, we got to remember that. So, well, in fact, let's just go ahead and review what the kingdom of heaven is. The kingdom of heaven is like the dictionary's definition of a kingdom. It is an organized community. Only Christians are added to that kingdom. Only God adds them to that kingdom. He's the monarch of the kingdom of heaven. Now, unlike the dictionary's definition of the kingdom, though, the kingdom of heaven is not overly political. And then that's okay, because we know what politics is, right? If you break it down, poly means many, and ticks are blood-sucking parasites, right? Well, that wasn't Christian. Edit that part out. I'm sorry, Lord. Listen, not all politicians operate under that definition, but some do. Thank God there's really not a need for politics in the kingdom of heaven. Let's get off of that. Furthermore, unlike the dictionary's definition, the kingdom encompasses more than one primary territorial unit. The kingdom is on earth, but it's also in heaven. Now, understand that the kingdom of heaven is temporarily spiritual. It's spiritual in nature, right? It's residing in heaven, and it's residing in human hearts. Now, one day it's going to be physical. When Jesus comes back and he lands on the Mount of Olives and destroys his enemies, he will set up a literal, physical, millennial kingdom. Boom, that's going to be awesome. But right now, God is multiplying believers. He's growing that kingdom spiritually. And that's what this parable is about, the growth of the kingdom. It's another description of the kingdom's growth. Now, notice the comparison that Jesus makes. Jesus likened kingdom growth to a woman making bread dough. Now, understand that in this parable, there was communication from Jesus, and then there was also sort of an unwritten expectation by Jesus of an already learned outcome on the part of the hearer. So what was the communicated part? Well, Jesus said the cook already had flour. She already had the flour. Either she bought it or she made it, but she had it in her possession. Now think about it. Making flour in those days was a long process. The most common flour they used was wheat flour. And to make wheat flour, they had to grow the wheat, harvest the wheat, put it in stalks, bind them, store them, and then through threshing and winnowing and sifting and crushing that wheat, the wheat flour was finally ready to be used. Now, this cook had already been through that process. She had bought it ready-made, or she made it herself, and she was in the kitchen, and she was about to start cooking, but she already owned the flour. Now, next, Jesus communicated that the cook added yeast to the flour. Now, Jesus called it leaven. Leaven was commonly added to flour to make bread in those days, right? They made a lot of bread in those days. A few different leavening agents are used in bread making today. We use yeast, we use baking powder or baking soda. Now, baking powder and baking soda, they weren't invented until the 1840s. So the Jews, in Jesus' day, they used yeast. Now, Jesus did not specifically say that the woman was making bread, but since bread was the staple food during that time, we can reasonably assume that Jesus was talking about using yeast to make bread. Now, notice that Jesus used a seemingly out-of-place term when describing mixing flour and yeast ingredients. Now, stick with me. This is important that you get this. He said that the cook took the leaven and hid it in the flour. Hiding, hid. That's a weird word for that. The word hid in the original language is the word encrypto, and that means to conceal something by mixing it thoroughly into something else. Jesus used that specific word to mean something specific. He wasn't being flippant. I want you to catch this, so put your thinking caps on. That word is only used twice in the Bible, once in Matthew, once in Luke, and only in this parable. Nowhere else in the Bible is that word used. But the Hebrew equivalent to encrypto, the Greek word, is the Hebrew word safan. And King David used that word in Psalm 119:11 when he wrote, I've stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. So that phrase stored up in Hebrew, safan, means the same thing as encrypto in Greek. It meant that David treasured God's word and intentionally incorporated in his life on purpose. What was that purpose? To keep him from sinning. Stored up is a phrase used to express the value and the life-altering effect of God's precepts on the life of King David. So when Jesus used the word hid or encrypto in this parable, he pointed to the value and life-altering effect of leavening. Okay, the cook mixed something that she valued with the wheat to alter it, and she did it intentionally. That's why she safaned it. She hid it in the flour. Next, Jesus said that the yeast leavened all of the flour. If yeast is mixed well enough, the entire batch of flour will be affected. Jesus mentions the phrase 3 measures of flour. I want you to know that's not an insignificant amount. It's about 50 pounds. That's a lot of flour. You know how much yeast it takes to leaven that amount of flour? It takes a little over half a pound. 0.6 pounds of yeast will leaven 50 pounds of flour. Did you know that? 0.6 pounds of yeast can leaven 83 and a third times its weight in wheat flour. Now, to be honest, I wasn't smart enough to figure that out. So I texted my buddy, Andy Carter, a church member and a teacher in the local school system, and he put his best and brightest elementary math students on that for me. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Carter. Mr. Carter, that the entire 50 pounds of wheat flour can be leavened by mixing it in just 0.6 pounds of yeast. A little goes a long way when it comes to yeast, but it's a powerful agent of change. The yeast leavened all the flour. So that's the process that Jesus communicated. But Jesus assumed the hearer already knew what the outcome would be if you mix these things together. He didn't have to say it. Everyone at that time knew what would happen when you mix flour and yeast and you added a little salt and a little water. The listener would have brought a previously learned conclusion to that parable, right? So what was that learned conclusion? Well, the flour mixture would increase in size. I read about why this happens. This is fascinating to me. Did you know that yeast is a fungus that ferments sugar and it produces carbon dioxide gas, making bread rise? Oh, all the Save the Planet people that were listening just said, carbon dioxide, we got to cut out bread, kids. And everyone else said, ooh, did you say fungus? Yep, bread is not going to be eaten anymore by anybody. Right? But it's true. To ferment properly, yeast needs sugar. Warm liquid such as water has sugar and it is a suitable growing environment. Now, when yeast is mixed with water, it begins to ferment the sugar in the water, but eventually it's going to run out of sugar to ferment and it stops growing. But when yeast is added to flour and other ingredients to make bread dough, it has access to additional sugars, additional nutrients, such as those in the flour. And that allows it to continue fermenting and producing carbon dioxide gas. And this gas gets trapped in the dough, specifically the dough's gluten structure, and it causes it to rise and to expand. Now, since Jesus was communicating about the growth of the kingdom, he counted on the listener to understand what happens when yeast and flour are mixed. It would expand, right? And people at that time, they knew what the outcome would be. Now, that may not have been the only thing that he was counting on his listeners to know. He surely thought that they already knew that pieces of that mixture would be removed and prepared for cooking, that heat would be added, and that bread would have to be cooked to be made ready to eat. And there's all kinds of analogies to make with those points, but we don't know if Jesus intended to make those points, so we're just going to focus on the increase because we know he was talking about that. So in this parable, Jesus compared kingdom growth to a woman making bread, and the woman represents God. And the leavened flour represents the people who will be added to the kingdom, and the leavening agent is the gospel. Well, the cook represents God, except for one major difference. And catch this, God made and bought people for his kingdom. We said that the woman made or bought the wheat flour, right? Well, God did both. We know that God created Adam, and then he made Eve, and then formed every baby in the mother's womb after that day. And that's what the Bible says. But it also says that his people, the citizens of his kingdom, were bought with a price. It cost God the life of his own son. So God is the cook. He made the flour and he bought it too. Wow. He was all in, all invested in this process. The next thing I told you was that the leavened flour represents the people who will be added to the kingdom. Well, consider why we were created. The Bible tells us we were created because God wanted to create us. I mean, when you read Revelation 4:11, it's perfectly clear. Worthy are you, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they exist and are created. We were created on purpose, and that purpose is for the pleasure and the glory of God. Don't read that and think he's egotistical and we're just his playthings. That's not what he's talking about. That verse simply means that we are made with reason and on purpose. When we reflect his glory, when we honor him with our lives, when we live by his power, he receives pleasure in those things. And catch this, he receives pleasure from us observing that kind of lifestyle. He receives pleasure, no, from him observing that kind of lifestyle. And not only that, but the reflection of the glory of God benefits everyone. Remember the mustard tree parable last week? However, people added to the kingdom of heaven are being added on purpose. On purpose. We live to honor God with our own lives and bring him joy. We are leavened flour in his bread mixture. Then I said that leavening agent's the gospel. It's true that no one becomes a Christian of heaven unless they hear the gospel. Nobody's soul is changed unless the gospel affects it. Think about it. Ephesians chapter 2 explains it perfectly. We are dead in sin. We become alive in Christ. One chapter earlier, Paul writes in verse 13 that Christians receive this gospel message and then they are saved. Then they are changed. We begin to grow into something different, something larger than ourselves. So the gospel is the leavening agent that changes us. But the truth of the kingdom's growth in this parable is more than simply saving an individual and letting that be the end of the process. Jesus was counting on the listener to know that the rising bread mixture would increase in size. The gospel's hidden in us. That valuable gift was mixed into our lives, thoroughly changing us from the inside out, increasing heaven's kingdom. However, that gospel's effect, it's more than just for us. It passes through us. It reaches another and then another and then another. It's intended to leaven more than just our part of the flour. One citizen became two, then it doubled, then it tripled, then it quadrupled, then grew, according to this parable, 83 and a third times its original size. For the kingdom of heaven multiplies immensely when the leavening agent of the gospel is correctly introduced into the mixture of the human race. That's what this parable means. God is growing the kingdom of heaven. Jesus communicated this process. God made all people, then he bought some of them with the sacrifice of his son. He hid that valuable gospel message in the hearts of those who would be saved. The gospel worked from within a person to change people to become worthy of citizenship. Jesus expected some to come to salvation's conclusion because the gospel empowers transformation. God temporarily separates a person from everyday carnal thinking. He opens his mind to the truth of the gospel. He convicts them, draws that person through his spirit. That person is changed and saved. Are saved and changed, but in the right order, and the separation from worldliness becomes permanent. Then that message affects everything else, everyone else around that changed person, and the kingdom's growth multiplies greatly. Look, the parable's point is that God is significantly growing his kingdom his way. His way is with the gospel and from the inside out, and now we know. So what do we do with that knowledge? Well, we pray that God will work here. We beg God to save people around here. God, please save my family, my friends, my coworkers, my neighbors, fellow students. God, we learned last week that you're saving people in South America, North Africa, and Southeast Asia. But please save people here too, God. Let evangelism happen here. We pray that, and God will do it. He is still committed to growing his kingdom. Otherwise, what's the point of the church being here? The job's not finished. The kingdom isn't complete. The mixture is still rising. So we pray for God to work here. And secondly, we join in that work. We join in that work by sharing the gospel. We have to share the gospel. It wasn't given to you only to affect you. Look, many will be affected. If you share it well and you mix it into your conversations and in the culture around you, it's going to affect others. So we must infuse this gospel message into our conversations, into our situations. Now, God prepares the person to react to that gospel message. That's not our job. But he does allow us to be a part of the mission. We're joining in the work. We're sharing that gospel. But God grows the kingdom. I mean, remember the other parables. We don't know who God's prepared for opening their ears to hear and their eyes to see. Yeah, a lost person may not be prepared or willing to be separated from sin yet, but that doesn't matter to us. The seeds of the gospel fall where they fall, remember? Some of it falls on rocky or hardened or weedy or fertile people. So we cast seeds. And we know that we're going to have to fight weedy people in this work. They don't want the light of the gospel to infiltrate those shaded places. They don't want the well-rooted soil to be disturbed under them. So, and just as the birds benefit from the mustard tree, the world's going to benefit from the growth of the kingdom. So in our work, we take the gospel to everyone, even unthreshed, unwinnowed, and unsifted people. We don't only wait for them to come to church, to come in contact with the gospel. We take it out there. We cast that gospel message everywhere. The gospel's truth will do amazing things if infused in his people and allowed to grow over time. We join in that work by sharing the gospel. Let me encourage you to be changed by the gospel today. And once you've been changed, let me encourage you to start sharing that gospel. Just let it affect everything and everyone around you. In doing so, you're going to join in God's work to grow the kingdom of heaven. Christian, you have to pray and you have to share. This is a part of the leavening work that Jesus is talking, that Jesus is describing, what he's talking about. And lost person, let the gospel's effect, let it fully affect you. Let it save you from the penalty of your sin. Let it change you into something acceptable to God and worthy of his kingdom. I'd love to tell you how to do that. Just email me at mike@fbcclover.com and we'll have that online conversation. You need to allow the gospel to have its full effect on you. And Christian, you really should start sharing that gospel more and more. That mixture inside of you is going to change lives. You need to allow it to happen. Father, I ask that you would help us to do this work. Help some of those who are listening today to respond to the gospel and allow you to change themselves, to change their lives and themselves into something acceptable to you. And help the Christians who are listening to take on this great value of sharing the gospel with the lost culture around them. God, we want you to be honored in our lives. So we gladly do this in Christ's name. Amen. Well, thanks for listening today. Don't forget to go pick up your latte from Parking Latte. It's a great place to get a cup of coffee. And remember, if you're walking step for step with God, he is very much pro you. Be blessed.
Thanks for listening to the Portable Pastor Podcast. Pastor Mike serves as pastor at the First Baptist Church in Clover, South Carolina. FBC Clover is a church that focuses on loving God, loving people, and making disciples. For more information about our church and our ministries, or to make an online donation, go to fbcclover.com or email us at fbcclover@gmail.com. Until next time, be blessed, and remember, God is pro you.